So first of all, I have to apologize to Liz because, Liz, I haven't registered. So please register me for the Bible study. I do plan on being here some weeks. I feel like some of you I've given my back to. So I'm going to move back. Hopefully this will still get me. Okay, well, good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Dawn James. I've been at Stony Point for 13 years. I have a very wise, handsome, and funny husband named Chuck, who is also a deacon here. And I have two kids, Madeline, who is 11, and CJ, who is 9. They are cute, but they're age-appropriate. So all I can say is that, ladies, I am doing my best. I am doing my best. But a whole lot is going to be left up to God. I mean, okay. I stay at home, so my days are filled with keeping the trains operational, somewhat operational. I'm on the board of Elijah House Academy, which has been challenging work, but I love it. I work with the children's choir here, and I serve on the worship team. But the most important thing that I want you to know about me is that I'm a daughter of God. I accepted the gift of salvation through Jesus at an early age. And there were a couple of times in my younger years where I tried to go it on my own, and that did not go well. But I can say that God has been faithfully loving me for 48 years, and I'm grateful. I'm just one of the few teachers who will be guiding us through Luke. Our goal for the large group teaching time is to flesh out any challenging part of our reading, if there are any. Give any further information from the commentaries when it will help with our discussion, but mainly to get to the application of the scripture to our lives. And we will try to keep these lessons fairly short because in Tuesday mornings, it really matters. Like, we want to give as much time to our small group discussion as possible. I am not perfect, and I believe for us to have a good discussion in our small groups that the large group time needs to be as transparent and honest, good, bad, ugly, but it has to be honest as possible. So there you have it. Sometimes it won't be pretty what we say up here, but it'll be for the good and God's glory. I've been part of Tuesday mornings for almost 10 years, and I can safely say that God has met me here each week through all of you, certainly, but this has been a precious time to me. And I hope it is for you as well. So, our study. You know, I was wondering why I couldn't see what I had written. I put on my readers Wednesday night, ladies, and now it's all so clear. Okay. I'm getting old. Okay. So, there are commentaries and other reference books listed at the beginning of your study. It's on page 4. If you would like to dive deep into Luke, those are the references that we would recommend to you. I would also encourage you to get out your study Bibles. Read the cross-referenced verses in the scriptures. Read the footnotes, all of that. They will strengthen your understanding and knowledge of scripture, which becomes increasingly important in our society because we're like the, soundbite society right now. Everything sounds like a good idea, but is so not God's truth. There's an introduction on page 2 to this part of our study, but I did want to do a little recap of the book of Luke in general before we dive in. For those of you who were a part of last year's study, some of this will be a review, but for old minds like mine, it's a good review. It's good to review. So Luke is writing because the early church needs some encouragement and needs clarity, much like today. The early church was being challenged by false teachers, and it was being persecuted. It was only going to get worse for them, so there was a need to have more written down as Jesus' disciples were getting advanced in years. Luke was written around 60 A.D., all of the Gospels were written somewhere between 60 and 90 A.D. Who is Luke? Colossians 4:17 calls Luke a beloved physician. Philemon, verse 24, says he's a fellow worker. And 2 Timothy 4:11 says, Luke alone is with me, and Paul is speaking. Luke was with Paul during his second missionary journey, and he remained in Philippi, and then 6 years later joins back up with Paul on Paul's third missionary journey to Jerusalem and Rome. So within there, Luke had a two-year sojourn in Caesarea, which gave him plenty of access to eyewitnesses of Jesus, and some scholars think that this puts him geographically close to Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was still alive at this point. So Luke's description of the birth of Jesus may have come directly from Mary. Who was the audience? Well, the audience, we said, was certainly the early church, which at this time was comprised of Jews and Gentiles. Theophilus is mentioned in the first few verses of Luke. He was a Roman official. He may have been a recent convert, although most Bible scholars argue that if Theophilus was a convert, Luke would have referred to him as brother. The most we know is that he was a Roman official. He was curious about the faith, and it is likely that he was a literary patron, meaning he may have been supplying money for the printing and distribution of this book. And it was also written to appeal to the Greek culture. Now, the Greek culture, if you can roll back in your memory banks, some of you have to roll a little further than others, but studying ancient Greece was focused on art, beauty, philosophy, wisdom, reason, education. The view of Jesus we are given in Luke is that he is God's son, and he is the ideal, universal, perfect man. Luke, the book of Luke, has been called the most beautiful book ever written. Last year's study was entitled Welcome to the Table. We studied Jesus from his earthly beginning, his growing up, the beginning of his ministry. And Luke focuses in those first chapters on Jesus' love and kindness for the outcasts, the poor, the sick, the diseased. The established church at the time was supposed to be caring for these groups of people, but it was falling short. Jesus focused a great deal of his time ministering to these group of people, much to the dismay of the religious leaders of the time. These people, whose society and the church had pushed to the margins, we see Jesus spending time with them, healing them. Jesus also spends time with tax collectors, the biggest liars and the most despised people of the time, and yet Jesus has dinner with them. In Luke, we see Jesus who spent time ministering to women who were sick, full of sin, grieving. We see Jesus not avoiding them, but inviting them to come to him, to sit by his feet. He talks to them even in a room full of men. This year's study, we will dive deep into Jesus' teaching. Again, we see Jesus seeing every person, and in seeing them, communicating to all each person's inherent dignity, no matter their station or sins. As our study says, this dignity is not earned. It is because they bear God's image. Our study is called the Good Portion, and our portion is humble repentance. A heart that feels its need of Jesus and his forgiveness will always be ready to extend that same mercy to others. At the end of each study, there is a praying together section. And throughout this study, we will be praying through the Lord's Prayer together. It's Luke 11:1-4. I encourage you to be praying that throughout each week. In other studies, I worked hard to find parts that whisper Jesus, but this study is screaming Jesus out loud to me, and it's full of application. As a way of being transparent, as I promised, I have to say that this study last year revealed ways in me which I had become callous to those Jesus would have run to. It has caused me to soften my heart toward people that I just didn't understand, or their life situation made me too uncomfortable. Some weeks left me unsettled, and I saw my need for him in new ways. I pray that God will continue to show me ways I need to be more like his son. I want to see who he would see, because all are welcome at his table, and he is our good portion. I don't know if some of you saw the story a couple weeks ago about a kid named Andrew. And the story was, I think the headline was, boy finally has somebody to sit with at lunch. And I was like, oh, okay. So it starts out with a mom picking up her son, who was a junior in high school, And he runs to the car and he gets in and he's like, Mom, I sat with somebody at lunch today. And not only did I sit with them today, they said I could sit with them tomorrow. And I could sit with them any day that I want. And they want to know if I want to go to the movies on Friday. Andrew's mom starts to tear up. Because Andrew was born addicted to crack, was adopted, and had several surgeries. Andrew's mom would say that he is bright, but he's just different. And he was hard to get to know. And so the days of when lunchroom seating was not assigned, and she would pick him up for school, she would say, did you sit with anyone today, Andrew? And he would say, no, I didn't sit with anyone. But don't worry, Mom. I took out my phone and just got in on it so it didn't look like it mattered. So the other part of the story is the student council at this school just decided that this year nobody was sitting by themselves at lunch. And not only were they not sitting by themselves on the first day of the school, they would never have to sit alone this year, and that they would also try and figure out how to get the kids together after school to plan activities for each other. Now, I don't know if these kids love Jesus or not, but I'm so happy that God gave them a measure of grace to include other people. And of course, you know, I read this article to my children at lunch or at dinner, you know, the first day after the first day of school and go, okay, what do you think this means for you? So, I know what it means for me because I identify with Andrew in this story. I am broken. I'm a mess. I'm sometimes hard to get to know. I'm bright, but I'm different. And I'm so full of sin. I'm in need of belonging. And belonging to not just a short-term group, but I need to belong to God. I want to be at his table, not for just an hour, but for eternity. And that's what this study is. We don't just belong for a short amount of time, but for eternity, and we need him. So welcome. Enjoy being in God's word. Enjoy being at his table. Enjoy his good portion. You are right where you need to be. And know that God is loving you, and God loves each of those women that he has put you with, so you can come to them in humble repentance. That's what we're here for. We all will be in humble repentance together. So, thank you. No one can leave until the food is gone.